When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
We made this.
Special Fight the Future Minute podcast. I am your host, Marlene Stemme, and you're listening to our coverage of Minute 101 of the X-Files Fight the Future. This minute begins at 100 minutes with Mulder and Scully pulling themselves up the wall in their climb out of the alien corridor, and ends at 100 minutes and 59 seconds with Mulder realizing that Scully is unconscious over his shoulder. To discuss this minute, I'm joined by X-Cast patron Michelle Milbauer. Welcome to Fight the Future Minute, Michelle. Good to have you back.
Hi, glad to be back.
Yeah. So we have left Mulder and Scully climbing up the wall out of the alien corridor, and we had previously in our last minute discussed whether or not their carrying formation was the ideal carrying formation to get up the wall, with Mulder kind of helping Scully from the side, and then also just talking about the seeming impossibility of climbing up that wall and trying to grip onto it. That was sort of what they're dealing with. And as we see them, they're continuing to climb. And then we see the snow plows driving across the ice and past the, I believe it's the little hole in the ice from which Mulder and Scully are going to emerge in a few minutes. I don't know if you noticed that, but I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's kind of what's implied.
Okay.
Yeah, at least that's how I always inferred what we were looking at. Like the timing of them being on the surface and being caught by the bad guys that are up there versus the bad alien guys that are underneath.
Behind them, right?
Yeah.
And that all these people that have set this up are just driving away, and they're fighting for their lives, climbing up this wall in an imperfect formation.
Potentially imperfect formation.
Right.
I've not had to climb out of any alien ships lately, so I don't know.
And you just see, like, I don't know, just something about the image of this big snowplows going past this little hole, you know, it's kind of like their whole struggle. It's just this, like, little chance that they're going to make it.
Yeah, and then you have to wonder, like, how thick is the rest of that ice? Like, this vent hole is what ultimately that, you know, our heroes are going to emerge from, but What's the structural stability of the rest of that ice? Clearly pretty good, because you've got snowcats going over it, but then earlier Mulder fell through it, so...
Through it by right. Just running across it.
So I guess Just dumb luck.
Yeah, or like a place in the ice where there was a vulnerability because it led down into this whole
venting something weakened it there.
Exactly. Yeah, just the venting structure. So they reach the top of one level of the wall, and Scully kind of, and I again, like, with the structure of it, I could kind of see what it is, but not exactly what it is. Like, I don't know how that went up to a level and there was a level where she could stop and rest, because it looked to me at the beginning like it was just going straight up to the top, but I guess it didn't.
Right. In an earlier scene, though, before Mulder slides, you know, we get the shot where he drops his flashlight. He drops something and he clanks to the bottom of this just bottomless hole. You can see there's levels of these pods moving on whatever mechanism they're moving and shifting and changing around. So I guess the way I've looked at this ledge that they climbed onto was another level, and that's an opening where those pods would have moved through, maybe?
I can see that. I think it's just we see all of these parts of the hole, and my mind cannot put together what all that would look like in one structure.
Right.
But that makes sense.
It would definitely have to be a huge space, considering all the different pieces that we've seen, and some of the shots where everything is enormous, and then, like, this tiny closed-in space. So, impossibly big.
Right. And I don't know if the space where she stops is we don't know if it's big or small or if it just looks very...
It feels like, claustrophobic, yeah.
It feels very claustrophobic, and it just like there's only enough space for her, and she's kind of collapsing in on herself, coughing and holding her arms around herself. So that adds to that effect, I think. And then Mulder says, we've got to keep moving, come on. And she says, I can't. And he encourages her that, yes, she can, and hauls her up over his shoulder. So we have another, you know, it's kind of the, I guess, the fireman's carrying position. Mm-hmm. Got her over his shoulder. And then he's walking with her down another corridor with cryopods on both sides, which lends credence to your understanding that they're on another level of structure, more cryopods. It's hard to keep track of, but that is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And the whole time, the sound effects are interesting. I think that they all together kind of create that atmosphere. But if you go back and you rewatch it over and over, you can, I guess, pinpoint different ones. But it's just an interesting combination because you have Scully gagging, and then you have the water that's defrosting and dripping, and then you have sort of the aliens rustling around, and then a little bit of music on top of that.
Yeah, kind of echoey and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Mulder is, he's always looking, you know, he's looking at the cryopods and he's holding Scully over his shoulders as he's going along. So he has that, I think at this point it's still kind of fascination a little bit more than fear. Like he's trying to hurry along, but he still wants to see what's going on.
Yeah. And again, we have all this blatant evidence of, look, aliens, these things are here. It's happening. Look. And she's out cold.
Out.
Just completely... oblivious for obvious reasons, but again, like, it's right here in front of us and she doesn't see any of it. So, which is, you know, true to form for the show, but another level of frustration for everybody else. Like, just look over there.
Just this once.
It's like, yeah, okay, yeah. Everything's kind of upside down by the fireman's carrier in at the moment, but you still have to admit that's weird. But she's out.
Yeah. She probably, well, I don't know. I mean, she has a little more sense than you might imagine someone in that situation in the moments when she's awake, but she's pretty much out. And of course, Mulder can't take any evidence with him or even any, you know, documentation of the evidence at this point. So he just has to kind of look and wonder, keep going. So then Mulder sees the big pipe from which he originally dropped into the corridor. I believe that's his, well, I think it's the same pipe. I don't know. Again, like the structure of the whole thing, it's a bit of a mystery, but it's a pipe similar to the one through which he came in. I'm usually too focused on what Mulder and Scully are going through in their plight to think about the structure until we were, you know, watching them paying attention to discuss this. So some of these things with the vent escaped my notice the first few times.
Yeah. It's like, how did you just happen to manage to get to some vent pipe, tube, hole, whatever, however we want to call it, that's going to lead to outside? I mean, yeah, because it could very easily just lead to another layer after another layer after another layer. And wait, this one hasn't melted through yet. And now we're, you know, trapped.
Trapped, right. Yeah. And maybe it's not the same one. I mean, I guess a system like that has to have a huge ventilation system. So it could be another one. But that, I guess that's the whole thing. Is like he doesn't know ever where exactly he's stepping or going. He just has to go through it and see where it leads.
He just happened to fall through a hole that led to a cryopod that was right within reach of where she was anyway. So right. I guess, again, suspend disbelief and go with it. Doesn't change the fact that you're still on the edge of your seat. Like, something bad is about to happen at any second. So hurry up. Go up that one.
Right.
Pick one. Go. Get out.
Yeah, I know. You can't do a lot of analysis at this point.
Right.
And it's sort of that idea of, not to take away from his struggle, but it's that idea of serendipity, that he just happens to go and they fall through the ice at the right place to get into the pipe. You know, he still has to do the work, but he gets in there. And then to get out, he just gets into a pipe that eventually is going to take him where he needs to go. And I really like that sort of visual metaphor for Mulder and Scully's journey. But at any rate, at this point, they're pretty much in a hurry. And so he's noticing creatures come to life inside the bodies in the nearby cryopods. So still looking around. And so he says, Scully, grab the vent. And then he kind of even raises her arm up from where it's lolling on his left shoulder. And her arm's just kind of flopping around at that point.
Yeah, that's kind of a strange visual.
It is. Yeah. Did you see that? Like,
yeah.
He says that, and then he's kind of trying to motivate her to grab the vent.
Yeah. And I don't know. It might be also in part of the way she's over his shoulders in the fireman's carry, that he lifts his arm, and the way hers is, it just happens to go with his. Because it would seem weird, like, oh, just reach up. Like, you haven't noticed, you haven't heard her coughing, You haven't heard her sputtering. She hasn't moved at all. So how do you think? Oh, just reach up there and grab that.
He's starting to panic
a bit
more.
He's suffering from a head wound too. So.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, no doubt something's broken. He has to have a broken bone from one of those things he landed on.
Sure.
He's running on adrenaline.
For sure.
Yeah. There's no response from Scully. So he questions Scully, and then you hear an alien kind of snarl behind him in the background. So things are not looking good. Scully's unconscious. They do a close-up of her, and she looks a bit ashen, so that's definitely not good.
Yeah, ashen, borderline blue, which in part might be because they're in Antarctica, and she was in a cryopod alien freezer. So, yeah, she's in a very, very bad way.
Physically, very dangerous conditions, obviously, and looks like she's not getting enough oxygen as well. And that is where our minute comes to an end. Did you have any other things that you'd noticed about this minute that we haven't discussed?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then that's all for this Fight the Future minute. We will be back next time for minute 102, for which I will once again be joined by Michelle. In the meantime, where can our listeners follow you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at mmbaker13.
Okay, and I am on Twitter at MarleneMHS, and then on Facebook in the XCast Basement group, where we have all sorts of discussions going on. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, for Michelle, for being here. And until next time, trust no one.
Elsewhere on We Made This. The giddy carousel of pop.
So there's just one thing we need to know. Where were you on the 13th of July, 1985?
I definitely watched the whole of Live Aid, sat 2 inches away from the telly. My mum and my stepdad and my stepsister coming in and out and trying to prise me away from the telly and not really managing.
I was in Wembley. I took a day off work. They didn't believe I was going. I had to show them the ticket.
Went to a dog show at Malvern.
Oh!
Saw Auntie Sandra and Uncle Jeff.
I was there. Me and a school friend went. My mum and dad drove us down. They had a day in London. We went to the concert.
The Movie Palace.
So, Carl, what is White Heat about for you?
For me, it's about where the gangster genre is at this point in time. And I think one of the interesting things to look at with gangster films is always like, how do they take the temperature of the time that they're made? So I suppose it comes at a very interesting time in terms of like globally, doesn't it? You know, you had the proclamation of the People's Republic of China, you had the Soviet Union testing the atomic bomb, stuff like that, you know. So there's something interesting about this film, which ends with this big explosion at the chemical factory, which comes along at this time of like nuclear tension.
Between the notes.
I think it's important to remember throughout the 1990s into the early 2000s, there were loads and loads of chill out albums that were released, like repeatedly. They were all over the place. My dad always used to collect those, he used to buy them. And Morricone was always on those, which is another sign of how remarkable he was. He could cross over into the mainstream populist sphere. And the score for The Mission was always on those albums, particularly Gabriel's oboe, which is an interesting story. I'll look this up. So Jeremy Irons plays the character of Gabriel in the movie, and he performs the oboe. Well, he mimes playing the oboe in the film, and then that's obviously overdubbed with the music.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.